Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What is going on, Mason and Ireland? Reunited. What is going on, John?
Everything is going on. Doesn't this feel like the day we have the most to talk about since the coronavirus hit?
Yeah, I mean, there are just monster stories today. And we'll get to baseball, but we should start with Dwight Howard, who was on a call with Kyrie Irving and about 100 other players over the weekend. And they are discussing the idea that by playing basketball right now, they will be distracting from the Black Lives Matter movement, from protesting police brutality, fighting for racial justice. And Dwight Howard is part of this. He says it would be a distraction in this moment, not the right thing to do, he would love to win his first championship, but the unity of my people would be an even bigger championship. I cannot understand this position that Kyrie and Dwight Howard would take, John.
But here's the thing. Well, we've got to talk about it. There's a lot of branches on this tree.
Yes.
All right. First of all, we have to separate the players that may not want to play because of COVID-19 versus the players like Kyrie and Dwight that may not want to play because of Black Lives Matters and the protest movement. Those are two completely different things.
But so were all 100 on the call?
Were
or was there a separate call?
No. There were 80 some players on the call.
Okay.
And they were just talking about whether or not they
were going
to play. And
they had two concerns, right.
Right. So these concerns, they overlap a little, which makes this tricky. Like, some people strongly feel that, like Tracy McGrady was on The Jump today saying because of COVID, he wouldn't play. But because of the protest movement, that makes it easy, he wouldn't play. I personally, when I look at it, and this is just my opinion, I think they can do more for the protest movement if they do play. I think their platform magnifies.
Correct. But
I want to be careful here. When the protest movement started, when people started walking in the streets, I came on the air and I said the number one thing that people need to do is we need to listen to each other. And in particular, if you're a white person, you need to have empathy. You need to try and put yourself in the other person's shoes.
But, I mean, at this point, aren't we – I mean, I completely support the Black Lives Matter movement, right?
But you just said you cannot understand where Dwight Howard and Kyrie are coming
from.
Yeah,
only because they would be missing on a gigantic platform. I mean, the entire world is going to be watching the NBA this year. And whether it is taking a knee during the national anthem or it is during your press availability, making sure that you get your message across when you do that post-game interview on the floor and you have an opportunity to talk about the social justice issues. I mean, you're giving up a gigantic platform. And I understand the idea of standing down and not playing. And I sympathize with that, but it's missing the forest for the trees. I would much rather see guys like Dwight Howard and Kyrie to whatever degree take advantage of this enormous stage that is going to exist. And this isn't just because I want to see Dwight play for the Lakers and all that stuff. You know, I support Black Lives Matter. Here's an opportunity to be the center of the universe and to be able to convey that message to the world.
Well, I agree with you. I share your position, but unlike you, I do understand what they're saying. I understand their point. I just disagree with it. I think that what Kyrie and Dwight and those guys are saying is if you provide, and Dwight used the phrase any entertainment, but if you provide basketball games and movies and shows, and if you go back to the entertainment, it distracts from the movement, and I get that. But I think what helps here, and this is backing up what you were just saying, listen to Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley was on Get Up this morning, and Barkley makes the point that if they were not to play, I understand what Kyrie and Dwight are arguing, but I agree with you. I like the way you phrased it. I don't think they're seeing the forest for the trees. Or as Charles said, out of sight, out of mind. Here's Barkley.
I think it'll be stupid to not play for two reasons. Number one, if they don't play, they're going to be out of sight, out of mind for the rest of the year. There won't be no cameras following. And, you know, LeBron is probably the most famous athlete in the United States. He won't be visible anywhere. And so us out of sight, out of mind. Also, these guys got to realize this money going to come back, and they're going to lose billions of dollars that the players could use to go into their own communities and do some great stuff. So it's not good on any front. I have no idea what Kyrie and Dwight are talking about, but it'll be a catastrophic mistake not to play.
So that's coming
from Charles Barkley. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with Charles, but I understand what Kyrie and Dwight are putting out there. And Michelle Roberts, the head of the union, said, hey, they're just talking. They're, you know, nobody's making demands. They're just giving opinions. As a matter of fact, Dwight McMenamin tracked down Dwight's agent, and Dwight's agent says Dwight hasn't even ruled out not playing. I mean, Dwight said he would prefer not to play in his statement to CNN, but that doesn't mean he's not going to play. They're talking it out. And
I think Steven Jackson
sense is they're going to play.
Steven Jackson has been right in the middle of this from the beginning and knew George Floyd. Here is what Steven Jackson said over the weekend about this idea that Kyrie and Dwight have that playing basketball would distract from the movement.
Hey, what up, world?
Man.
Hey, what up, world?
Man, I love the NBA, man. That's my family. But now ain't the time to be playing basketball, y'all. Now ain't the time. Playing basketball is going to do one thing. Take all the attention off the task at hand right now, what we fighting for. Everybody going to be worrying about the playoffs. They're going to have all that blasted all over the TV. And nobody's going to be talking about getting justice for all these senseless murders by these police. And nobody's going to be focusing on the task at hand, bro. None of these white owners have spoken up. None of them are taking a stand. Yeah, they might post a video when the season start of saying what we should do, but they ain't doing nothing. Playing basketball ain't going to do nothing but make them money and take the attention of what we fighting for, what we marching for. It's bigger than all of us, and it's bigger than the game, and it's sad that we still got to explain that to people, bro. Sad.
So what I would argue about that is, and I like Steven Jackson a lot, I mentioned last week when you were gone, that I actually covered him in high school.
Oh, wow.
When I was in Beaumont, Texas, he was in Port Arthur, which is the next city, and he joined the NBA right out of high school. And he was an unbelievable high school player. He's a good dude, and he's funny, and I think as people have seen the side of him now, he's very caring. I mean, I have great respect for his opinions. But what I would say to Steven, if I saw him again, was the two things you're arguing are not mutually exclusive. You can still put a priority on your movement and play basketball. As a matter of fact, I think playing basketball enhances it because, again, you would be on the biggest stage every single night.
Yep.
If you mobilize your players, if you get all the NBA guys who care about this, and I think almost all of them do, and you had a consistent message, think of all the people that would be dialed in to listen to it every night.
Sure.
People are dying for sports.
Yep.
So I'm not going to kill Kyrie or Dwight. I think I've made a point of saying I'm going to listen to other people's opinions, even
sure.
when I may not agree with them. And in this case, I don't. But what I would say if I was on that call and I was like a top NBA player is, guys, Let's see if we can get our cake and eat it too. We can get the money because, and this is another angle, Mesa, you know, again, this is complicated, but
yep.
If they were not to play, okay, if they were to take the advice of Steven Jackson and Dwight and Kyrie and just say, our movement's too important, basketball's too big of a distraction, we're not going to play.
Yep.
There's a chance, and if you Google and read up on this, that there wouldn't be a season next season. The owners would then have the right to redo the CBA, and they, you know, the same reason we had a strike in 2011 would come back to the front burner. And think about all the millions and millions the players would lose if that happened.
Yeah.
So not only, like Barkley said, do you get the money, but you get the you get the platform.
Yep.
To show people what's important to you. So I would say to Kyrie and Dwight, hey, look at it from a different angle. If we play, like right now, we can't get Dwight Howard on the show. We asked for him last week.
Yep.
And what we were told was everybody's going to wait until they resolve whether or not they're going into the bubble, and then players will be ready to talk. But once they go down there, people will be coming for him every day.
Yeah.
And they would have a really good chance to spread their
word. So here's a great tweet from Robert Wilkins, and this articulates the Kyrie-Dwight position. Everyone is talking about how to make significant change in society, including 710 ESPN, which ventured way off its normal programming. When the Lakers play a playoff game, that's all you're going to be talking about. That's where Dwight is coming from.
He's right, but
yep.
At the same time, I mean, during the game, we're going to be calling the game. But when the game is over, and I think the Lakers are going to win a lot of games, we're going to
Dwight's going to get access to a microphone.
Right, and so are all the other players.
Yeah.
And LeBron is one of the most thoughtful, articulate, famous people in the world. And nobody's done more for, you know, this movement than LeBron. I mean, look at LeBron. He's got a school. He just started a voting awareness program. I mean, LeBron will be all over this. And the next night it will be, you know, Giannis. And the next night it'll be James Harden. And the next night it'll be somebody else. And they can you know, they're going to have this giant stage. Here's another good way of putting it, Mace. What Dwight and Kyrie are advocating is not playing at all.
Yes.
Muhammad Ali, in order to get people to care about what he said, had to fight. I mean, he had to box. John Carlos and Tommy Smith made such a huge impact because they won medals. And then they got on the medal stand.
Yeah, yeah.
And did their thing.
Their Black Power salute, yes.
But if they didn't, if John Carlos and Tommy Smith didn't win medals,
they never would have had that platform.
Yeah, they wouldn't have the impact.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I would use as a comparison. I would say, guys, look, don't, like Michael Wilbon just said on PTI, you never turned down a platform in this situation. And he cited guys like Arthur Ashe and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Muhammad Ali. And he said, what you do is you use your platform to further your cause. And I think that's where the players are probably going to come down. I'm pretty confident, and this is just my own personal feeling, I'm pretty confident they're going to play. Are you?
100%. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever they're going to play. I mean, I think Patrick Beverly, you know, his tweet, Hoopers say that y'all want, if King James said he hooping, we all hooping, not personal, only business, hashtag stay woke. I mean, in the end, LeBron James wants to play. The biggest stars in the game want to play.
And so does Giannis.
And so does
Anthony
Giannis.
Davis.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Those guys want to play. And I think at the end of the day, those guys win out. Now, talk about the Kyrie angle here a little bit. So Kendrick Perkins was on Golic and Wingo today, and here's what he said about Kyrie.
I'm talking about the timing of it. It just looks bad on our union, because guess what the owners are doing? The owners are sitting back laughing and say, oh, we can't wait till the next CBA, because look at them, they're not together, which we're not right now as a players association. And then I read another statement that Kyrie made saying, he's willing to give it up all. Don't be willing. This ain't the time to be willing. Do it. Maya Moore, she wasn't willing. She did it.
She
walked away from the game of basketball and took this on full time. So, Kyrie, this ain't the time to be talking about, oh, I'm willing to do it. No, if you're going to make a stance, do it. Or don't talk about it.
And Perk also said
that was on the jump, by the way.
Oh, that was on the jump. Okay.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins this morning on Golic Wingo said, what changed over the last 9 or 10 days, what changed was, from what I strongly believe and what I heard, is that the NBA and the Players Association told Kyrie that, no, you can't go. No, you can't go. In other words, it's been estimated that each organization is going to be able to bring about 35 people into the bubble. Kyrie has been told that because he's not playing, he can't go inside the bubble. he can't go with the rest of his team because he might be taking the place of a trainer or a medical guy or a games personnel person. So he's been told he can't go. Now he has this conference call, and it's possible that he's got sort of this ulterior thing going on where he's pissed off that he's not allowed to go into the bubble.
Maybe.
That's what Burke's saying.
Yeah, maybe. I'll give Kyrie the benefit of the doubt and say that his motives are honest. But even if they are, I disagree with his tactics. I think that what I hope Kyrie and Dwight, and I like Dwight a lot. Dwight, I've argued, should be, you know, they don't do the comeback player of
the year.
Yeah,
he would be
anymore.
The comeback player of the year, hands down, slam dunk.
He would be it.
Yeah.
And in full disclosure, Dwight lost one of the the mother of one of his children passed away from COVID. So this
yes.
is a
yeah, we're losing you a little bit. But yeah, this is a very, very personal issue for Dwight. All right, coming up next for you, Ramona Shelburne is going to join us. She's on the inside of all this stuff. We will get to the baseball story, which is a big one. Rob Manfred no longer certain that there will be a baseball season in 2020. Momo's next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Damn right I come back with my best personality. Don't you think so far? You getting it? You getting
thrilled.
It?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. All right.
You're very passionate, Mace.
I'm very passionate today. There is a lot going on, and I'm very passionate about it all. And nothing, I just tweeted, MLB better not break my heart today. It's the game I love. This could be a hell of a Dodger season. Owners and players better not burn down the house. But there is definitely lighter fluid in a match right now.
Okay, so here's why everybody's freaking out about baseball. Tonight on ESPN, Mike Greenberg is hosting what was strangely labeled as a return to sports special about how we might return to sports.
But only baseball could do this.
Yeah, but over the weekend, the owners made a proposal to the players. The players rejected it, and the players basically said, look, you're not negotiating with us. You don't care about any of our proposals. We are going to just tell us when to show up, and we'll take whatever you give us.
Yeah, they just said, just give us a schedule. Just give us a schedule. We'll be there.
And by the way, we plan to sue you for not negotiating with us.
Yeah.
And Rob Manfred and the owners didn't take kindly to the threat of a lawsuit. And we've got a piece of the interview that's going to air tonight on the Return to Sports special. And Manfred does not sound confident that we'll have a season at all. Here's Mike Greenberg with Rob Manfred.
Well, I know the owners are 100% committed to getting baseball back on the field. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. I had been hopeful that once we got to common ground on the idea that we were going to pay the players full prorated salary, that we would get some cooperation in terms of proceeding under the agreement that we negotiated with the MLBPA on March 26th. Unfortunately, over the weekend, while Tony Clark was declaring his desire to get back to work, the union's top lawyer was out telling reporters, players, and eventually getting back to owners that as soon as we issued a schedule, as they requested, they intended to file a grievance claiming they were entitled to an additional $1 billion. Obviously, that sort of bad faith tactic makes it extremely difficult to move forward in these circumstances.
What are your concerns for the optics of this circumstance playing out as publicly as they are during the time in this country where all the other things, the confluence of events involving the pandemic and protest in the streets and everything else, of this playing out as publicly as it is?
It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. It shouldn't be happening. And it's important that we find a way to get past it and get the game back on the field for the benefit of our fans.
Would you describe your feelings as confident that there will still be a season?
And I think that's where he says, no, I'm not confident. I'm going to fill in the blank.
Yeah.
No, I'm not confident is basically what he said. It ended at a really weird moment.
Yeah,
no, I'm not confident.
Yeah, that's on us. Yeah.
Yeah. he did answer the question. He said, no, I'm not confident. Now, John, you know I love baseball. And you know this is my game. And, you know, I live for the Dodgers. It is my team. I've been to all those playoff games.
And they're favored to go to the World Series this year, by the way.
Favored. We are absolutely stacked and loaded. If baseball screws this up, if somehow they can't reach some sort of agreement and play at a minimum 48 games, it is, and Rob Manfred said, a disaster. And I'm sorry, it's on Rob Manfred. It's his job to work this stuff out. There's 48 games. Everybody's fine with 48 games now. Players said 48 games, prorated salary. There's got to be a way to resolve this in an amicable way so that we get a baseball season, even if it's just a mini baseball season.
All right, so two things about what you just said. Number one, Rob Manfred works for the owners. It's not like Rob personally doesn't want to cut a deal. He has marching orders. That's number one. Number two, and I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about this. Jeff Passan was on after they aired that clip.
Oh, God, not
on
Jeff
SportsCenter.
You know what, boys? Can I call you back? I actually have to grab this.
Yeah. There's Jeff Passan.
There's Jeff Passan. And he says he thinks this possibly could be posturing from Manfred, that they're still negotiating in the press,
oh,
which
God.
Was stupid from the beginning.
Please, stop negotiating in public. Stop already. You're making it worse at this point. You go on the "We're returning from sports" special on ESPN and say we might not be returning. The optics are absolutely awful. There is a pandemic going on. People have been sheltering in place for a long time. We are slowly reopening. The Black Lives Matter movement, is everywhere now. People are in the streets in protest for racial justice. This is a great opportunity for baseball to show its strength and its importance in the fabric of the country, and they are absolutely blowing it, and they're going to break my heart.
Well, first of all, they haven't done it yet. I still think there's a possibility that they play. But it sure seems like the owners have done something almost impossible. I don't know anyone, and I'm curious if you do, because you know a lot of baseball fans, probably more than I do.
Yeah.
Normally in these situations, and if you go back and pull tape from the Mason and Ireland show, you will find days, some days where we blame the players, some days where we blame the owners. Lately, we've really been blaming the owners, but there were days in the beginning where we said, if these two, you know, millionaires can't. I don't know anyone now who isn't blaming the owners. Everybody
right.
is siding with the players. And
yeah.
I think it's because of social media. Because the players, like Trevor Bauer, go read all his tweets today.
Sure.
He's basically explaining exactly what this is, you know, and how the, you know, why the owners have put it this way. And if you even read the tweets of former baseball players, they'll explain to you. The owners have now alienated everybody. I don't know any, you know, normally Mace, when you and I over the years have debated work stoppages and, you know, think of all the work stoppages we've had in the 20
sure.
plus years we've been doing this. I normally tend to go with the business owner. You normally tend to go with the worker.
Yep.
You and I are lockstep that the owners
yeah.
are wrong.
Yeah, no, we absolutely are. And one of the weird deals that is going on, one of the weird sort of breaking points here is the players want the ability to sue the owners if there is a COVID-19 outbreak, if they get sick, and if they get disabled for any period of time because of this. And the owners are not willing to extend them that waiver. Now, should players have recourse against the owners if they get sick?
Well, I want to be careful how I answer this one, because the NBA handled this the right way. They said, look, if you're a player who has concerns about COVID, or if you have a pre-existing condition and you don't want to go into the Orlando campus, you're not required to go, and you'll still receive your salary. Baseball players, the deal is if they don't go, they don't get paid. But what you're pointing out is, what if you do go and you get COVID and you get sick? Now, here's why I think they shouldn't necessarily sign the waiver is, what if it does cost you your career? Right. What if you get sick and in that rare instance,
and there's lungs and some long-term lasting impact from it?
Yeah, then how are you going to be compensated? So I think there's got to be a way to negotiate that rather than just say, no, you can't sue us. Now, the overwhelming, this I'm going to kind of steer the conversation in a different direction here. I know we got Ramona coming up, but, you know, COVID is overwhelmingly turning out to be the people that are dying from it are almost exclusively older. There's a Wall Street Journal article today that does a good job of laying all this out, that your chances of dying from COVID if you're under the age of 60 are about the same as your chances of dying in a car accident. But that doesn't mean, Mace, that you can't get it, get sick, and lose your income. And I would think those people need to find a way to get protected. So I would hesitate to I don't think the players should give up that right, but I would be anxious to learn more about it. What do you think about that specific issue?
Well, I mean, without question, if you have an underlying condition, if you're a senior, you are much more likely to get sick and potentially die from this. And the Wall Street Journal piece I haven't seen, but have no reason to doubt the results and the reporting there. However, there are instances. You know, I had a friend who had a COVID-related stroke.
Who wasn't 60, right? He was younger than 60.
Who was my age. You know, that's one of the potential outcomes of having COVID if you're a younger person.
Right. And let's use that as an example. If that happened to a baseball player, unlikely, but if it happened to a baseball player, he should have some recourse to receive compensation. It shouldn't just be, nope, too bad, you got COVID and you can't play anymore.
Right.
You know, so they need to negotiate that. It shouldn't be a black and white thing. There should be circumstances.
All right. Coming up next for you, Momo is going to join us. She's probably got some baseball stuff, but we're going to talk to her about the Dwight Howard
stuff.
She posted an
article about this whole Kyrie Dwight situation and what the latest on that is. So she'll have a lot on that.
Yep. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Damn right I come back with my best personality. Don't you think so far? You getting it? You getting
thrilled.
It?
Yes. Yeah. It's very exciting.
Yeah. All right.
You're very passionate, Mace.
I'm very passionate today. There is a lot going on, and I'm very passionate about it all. And nothing, I just tweeted, MLB better not break my heart today. It's the game I love. This could be a hell of a Dodger season. Owners and players better not burn down the house. But there is definitely lighter fluid in a match right now.
Okay, so here's why everybody's freaking out about baseball. Tonight on ESPN, Mike Greenberg is hosting what was strangely labeled as a return to sports special about how we might return to sports.
But only baseball could do this.
Yeah, but over the weekend, the owners made a proposal to the players. The players rejected it, and the players basically said, look, you're not negotiating with us. You don't care about any of our proposals. We are going to just tell us when to show up and we'll take whatever you give us.
Yeah, they just said, just give us a schedule. Just give us a schedule. We'll be there.
And by the way, we plan to sue you for not negotiating with us.
Yeah.
And Rob Manfred and the owners didn't take kindly to the threat of a lawsuit. And we've got a piece of the interview that's going to air tonight on the Return to Sports special. And Manfred does not sound confident that we'll have a season at all. Here's Mike Greenberg with Rob Manfred.
Well, I know the owners are 100% committed to getting baseball back on the field. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. I had been hopeful that once we got to common ground on the idea that we were going to pay the players full prorated salary, that we would get some cooperation in terms of proceeding under the agreement that we negotiated with the MLBPA on March 26th. Unfortunately, over the weekend, while Tony Clark was declaring his desire to get back to work, the union's top lawyer was out telling reporters, players, and eventually getting back to owners that as soon as we issued a schedule, as they requested, they intended to file a grievance claiming they were entitled to an additional $1 billion. Obviously, that sort of bad faith tactic makes it extremely difficult to move forward in these circumstances.
What are your concerns for the optics of this circumstance playing out as publicly as they are during the time in this country where all the other things, the confluence of events involving the pandemic and protests in the streets and everything else, of this playing out as publicly as it is?
It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. It shouldn't be happening. And it's important that we find a way to get past it and get the game back on the field for the benefit of our fans.
Would you describe your feelings as confident that there will still be a season?
And I think that's where he says, no, I'm not confident. I'm going to fill in the blank.
Yeah.
No, I'm not confident is basically what he said. It ended at a really weird moment.
Yeah,
no, I'm not confident.
Yeah, that's on us. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he did answer the question. He said, no, I'm not confident. Now, John, you know I love baseball. And you know this is my game. And you know I live for the Dodgers. It is my team. I've been to all those playoff games. All
and they're favored to go to the World Series this year, by the way.
Favored. We are absolutely stacked and loaded. If baseball screws this up, if somehow they can't reach some sort of agreement and play at a minimum 48 games, it is, and Rob Manfred said, a disaster. And I'm sorry, it's on Rob Manfred. It's his job to work this stuff out. There's 48 games. Everybody's fine with 48 games now. Players said 48 games, prorated salary. There's got to be a way to resolve this in an amicable way so that we get a baseball season, even if it's just a mini baseball season.
All right, so two things about what you just said. Number one, Rob Manfred works for the owners. It's not like Rob personally doesn't want to cut a deal. He has marching orders. That's number one. Number two, and I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about this, Jeff Passan was on after they aired that clip on SportsCenter.
Boys, can I call you back? I actually have to grab this.
Yeah. There's Jeff Passan.
There's Jeff Passan. And he says he thinks this possibly could be posturing from Manfred, that they're still negotiating in the press, was stupid from the beginning.
Please, stop negotiating in public. Stop already. You're making it worse at this point. You go on the "We're returning from sports" special on ESPN and say we might not be returning. The optics are absolutely awful. There is a pandemic going on. People have been sheltering in place for a long time. We are slowly reopening. The Black Lives Matter movement, is everywhere now. People are in the streets in protest for racial justice. This is a great opportunity for baseball to show its strength and its importance in the fabric of the country, and they are absolutely blowing it, and they're gonna break my heart.
Well, first of all, they haven't done it yet. I still think there's a possibility that they play, but it sure seems like the owners have done something almost impossible. I don't know anyone, and I'm curious if you do, because you know a lot of baseball fans, probably more than I do.
Yeah.
Normally in these situations, and if you go back and pull tape from the Mason and Ireland show, you will find days, some days where we blame the players, some days where we blame the owners. Lately, we've really been blaming the owners, but there were days in the beginning where we said, if these two, you know, millionaires can't. I don't know anyone now who isn't blaming the owners. Everybody
right.
is siding with the players. And
yeah.
I think it's because of social media. Because the players, like Trevor Bauer, go read all his tweets today.
Sure.
He's basically explaining exactly what this is, you know, and how why the owners have put it this way. And if you even read the tweets of former baseball players, they'll explain to you. The owners have now alienated everybody. I don't know any, normally Mace, when you and I over the years have debated work stoppages and, you know, think of all the work stoppages we've had in the 20
sure.
plus years we've been doing this. I normally tend to go with the business owner. You normally tend to go with the worker.
Yep.
You and I are lockstep that the owners
yeah.
are wrong.
Yeah, no, we absolutely are. And one of the weird deals that is going on, one of the weird sort of breaking points here is the players want the ability to sue the owners if there is a COVID-19 outbreak, if they get sick, and if they get disabled for any period of time because of this. And the owners are not willing to extend them that waiver. Now, should players have recourse against the owners if they get sick?
Well, I want to be careful how I answer this one, because the NBA handled this the right way. They said, look, if you're a player who has concerns about COVID, or if you have a pre-existing condition, and you don't want to go into the Orlando campus, you're not required to go, and you'll still receive your salary. Baseball players, the deal is if they don't go, they don't get paid. But what you're pointing out is, what if you do go, and you get COVID, and you get sick? Now, here's why I think they shouldn't necessarily sign the waiver is, what if it does cost you your career?
Right.
What if you get sick and in that rare instance,
and some long-term lasting impact from it?
Yeah, then how are you going to be compensated? So I think there's got to be a way to negotiate that rather than just say, no, you can't sue us. Now, the overwhelming, this, I'm going to kind of steer the conversation in a different direction here. I know we got Ramona coming up, but COVID is overwhelmingly turning out to be, the people that are dying from it are almost exclusively older. There's a Wall Street Journal article today that does a good job of laying all this out, that your chances of dying from COVID if you're under the age of 60 are about the same as your chances of dying in a car accident. But that doesn't mean, Mace, that you can't get it, get sick, and lose your income. And I would think those people need to find a way to get protected. So I would hesitate to, I don't think the players should give up that right, but I would be anxious to learn more about it. What do you think about that specific issue?
Well, I mean, without question, if you have an underlying condition, if you're a senior, you are much more likely to get sick and potentially die from this. And the Wall Street Journal piece I haven't seen, but have no reason to doubt the results and the reporting there. However, there are instances. I had a friend who had a COVID-related stroke.
Who wasn't 60, right? He was younger than 60.
Who was my age. You know, that's one of the potential outcomes of having COVID if you're a younger person.
Right. Let's use that as an example. If that happened to a baseball player,
yep.
Unlikely, but if it happened to a baseball player, he should have some recourse to receive compensation. It shouldn't just be, nope, too bad, you got COVID and you can't play anymore.
Right.
You know, so they need to negotiate that. It shouldn't be a black and white thing. There should be circumstances.
All right. Coming up next for you, Momo's going to join us. She's probably got some baseball stuff, but we're going to talk to her about the Dwight Howard stuff. She posted an
article about this whole Kyrie-Dwight situation and what the latest on that is. So she'll have a lot on that.
Yep. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, there's so much going on today. By the way, vacation was fantastic. Thank you for asking, John.
No, I'm glad you inspired me. I'm going to go on a vacation bender now.
Are you really? Where are you going to go? Yeah,
I've decided that you've had it right. I've had it all wrong. I'm taking the last week of this month off. I think I'm going to take a week next month. And if I don't go to Orlando, I may take a week. If they don't play basketball, I may take a week in August. But I think they're going to play basketball. So I think
good
that
for
I,
you. I'm Where are gonna, you going
to
go?
Pebble Beach is the next one.
Wow.
So
you've been though, right?
Oh yeah.
Are you taking Lisa or is this a guy's trip?
Golf trip.
Golf trip.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's coming up.
Lisa
later.
must be relieved.
She's happy. She's going to have the whole place to herself. Yeah.
No, I had a great. We just took a house in Palm Springs and did nothing but swim and soak and watch Sopranos.
So where are you? What season are you on now?
Season four.
Okay,
so
you're
good.
You're getting into the thick of it now.
Yep, exactly. It's getting really good. All right, so Ramona's going to join us here in a second. Momo has been reporting on this Dwight Howard story. If you missed this, Dwight Howard was on a call with Kyrie Irving and about 80 or so other players over the weekend, and there's a sentiment that playing basketball right now, they would be distracting from the Black Lives Matter movement, protesting police brutality, fighting for racial justice. So,
and you know, Mace, one angle of that that I find a little surprising is you and I both agree that they should use the platform, play, and then state their case. I don't know of it, unlike the NFL, I don't know anybody in the NBA who has tried to squash any type of of opinion or attitude. Like if these guys decided to take a knee, I actually think the NBA would not only be okay with it, they'd be supportive of it.
Absolutely they would. I would be shocked, by the way, when games are played if players don't take a knee.
Well, remember, the thing that's tricky is, and I know this because I do the games, and as soon as they go to the anthem, we go to a break. So they're not on TV when the actual anthem is being played until you get to the finals. They carry the anthem in the finals, but they don't carry, it's not televised in a normal game. So they may have to come, it would have to be maybe in like at the jump ball, they'd have to come up with something.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, but they will. And I think,
and I think the NBA will be nothing but supportive.
Yeah, and now Ramona joins us. And Momo, you and Woj had an article kind of outlining this crazy NBA weekend. I've been careful today to say I'm not going to kill Kyrie or Dwight Howard. I think if they feel that way, they should express their opinion. But my sense is that they're in the minority. Are they?
Oh, yeah. I think there are maybe a few dozen players who agree with them about or not wanting to restart the season. I talked to a player, guys, and I think this is a really important thing to get across, okay? Because, this, you know, I literally Friday night for an hour and a half, I was on the phone with this player who was on the call. So this is now 2 hours. You know, the call was almost 2 hours, and he was on the phone with me for almost 2 hours. And I said, you know, what's going on? What is this? Like, why Kyrie? How is he leading this? Why did you even go to Kyrie? Like, do you agree with him? Was he leading you? Were you leading him? And the player said, you know, I'm not in favor of playing again. Just based off of what I hear, because this player doesn't think the bubble's going to work. He doesn't think he thinks it's too restrictive, and it's you know, it's going to be too hard for players to be in this bubble environment for 6-7 weeks with no socializing and it doesn't need to be like this. They can just do home practice sites and et cetera. He also feels like the communication between the league, the players' union, and individual players has not been right. He had issues with the process of the whole thing. He felt like a small group of players who were part of the executive committee were negotiating this for everyone, and the details weren't being shared widely enough or fast enough. All of those things are totally valid concerns. And he went to Kyrie Irving, who is, by the way, a Players Association vice president, and expressed that. And I said, you know, why did you go to Kyrie? Why was he the person you reached out to? And the player said, well, look, you know, it's Kyrie. You tell him that you're looking at an apple, and he's like, are you sure it's an apple? Maybe it's an orange.
Yeah, right.
He's the kind of guy who would listen to us, right? Like, it's not too late to bring up these questions. It's not too late to bring up these concerns. And like we were talking about the other day, John, I think there's a list of three or four major concerns that players have in all different orders, right? So some players are mostly concerned with social justice and not distracting from the movement and the moment. Some players are more concerned with, you know, the bubble environment is too restrictive. Some people think it's not restrictive enough because, you know, Disney workers and some media can come in and out a little bit without the same level of quarantining that the players are doing. Some people just simply don't like this setup. They think it should be home practice sites altogether. And, like, you have a whole list of things that people are concerned about, right? Like, free agents are concerned about risking, you know, their next contract by playing in this, especially after such a long layoff. And Kyrie Irving, as much as you want to, you know, you might call him, you know, his history in the league has sort of been a divisive force. Like, he's also somebody who's not afraid to speak truth to power or at least advocate for something different and advocate for an alternate viewpoint. And I think that's what a lot of these calls have been about, which is, hey, let's talk this stuff out. Let's make sure that everybody really feels heard, because if you have process questions, you have process issues, like let's get this out here and let's get everybody unified.
So Is there anything to this Kendrick Perkins theory? He had it on Golic and Wingo today, that Kyrie is upset that he's been told he can't go into the bubble with his teammates.
Well, I don't have direct knowledge of that. So that would be Perk's theory, although Perk's usually pretty good at that stuff. He's been a teammate of Kyrie, right? He was there with him in Cleveland, so I think he knows him well enough to have an opinion. He also talks to a lot of people in the league, so I'm not going to discount his opinion. I wonder if I think a lot of it is this is very on brand for Kyrie to go against the grain, and that's kind of his reputation. That's kind of who he is, and I guess if I'm somebody in charge of this, if I'm Adam Silver, Michelle Roberts, I think the right posture towards it is to say, good, we welcome you to challenge us as much as you want, because we should all be feeling good about this moving forward. We should all feel good. Like we should be able to defend these plans and defend our process. That should be something you welcome. And I don't think it is derailing anything. They've already voted. Kyrie voted. He was one of the 28 team reps that was part of this vote. So unless there's going to be, an organized, you know, change pump the brake. Let's stop this. You know, I saw the latest story from Woj and Malika. There's a very long and passionate statement in that kind of trying to outline what players are feeling and talking about. When I talked to Michelle Roberts yesterday, Mace, she said, you know, she doesn't want to tell players what to do. And I think LeBron James in the same camp. They don't want to tell people what to do because this really is an individual decision. But they do feel like at some point, and with training camp is literally supposed to open next week, they do need to have a unified front. They do need to settle on it. So I think in the next few days, we all really got to sit tight and see what happens, because right now my sense is it's about 30 or 40 players who feel this way, and that's 30 or 40 out of a list of 350. So I don't think that's enough to really turn things around and change things up. But nobody wants to tell those 30 or 40 players, hey, simmer down, because they have a right to their opinion, and they don't feel comfortable playing, then they shouldn't play.
Ramona Shelburne is joining us, and she's been all over this NBA story over the weekend that they had a call on Friday night led by Kyrie Irving where they discussed maybe not playing. It doesn't look like that's going to be the end result. But Ramona, you said something that you said you were talking to a player, and one of the questions is, why aren't we just playing at home sites? And that's actually a legitimate question that he brought up.
Yeah.
Baseball, if they come back, all reports are that they're going to play in their own stadiums. Football is playing in their own stadiums.
Yeah.
The NBA is not. Is that basically safety regarding the pandemic, or is there more to it than that?
No, it's just safety. And John, I remember maybe, I don't know, I feel like I have no concept of time anymore, but do you remember one time when I called in and I said, guys, I don't know about this bubble thing. I mean, you know, I'm turned around on it because I talked to Michelle Roberts. She gave me, you know, these quotes where, like, you know, the players don't want to feel like they're in jail. They don't want to be monitored with ankle bracelets and feel like they're being surveilled, you know. And then pretty quickly we moved off of that position. And I really thought we went from we're probably going to be at team practice facilities to, oh, we're back to the bubble. Oh, how did that turn around? And it was an interesting pivot because it happened right after Adam Silver had the call with all the players. And he explained, like, this, it really would be safer to be at the one facility. And here's what it would feel like. It'd be more like a campus where you can go play golf and you can go to the water park. And it's not going to be like, you know, there's armed guards at the gates and keeping you in. Well, we might be kind of turning back around on that to where we initially start off with, which is like, wait, why are we doing 7 weeks where you can't see your families and all that? And you know, Zach Lowe pointed out something in his column the other day, and I thought it was a really good point. Like, the optics of a majority African American league being put into a quarantined place by a majority white ownership group, not the greatest optics right now, you know, not the greatest feel. And I think it's sitting.
It's weird when you think about it that way.
Yeah. You know, like, it's weird when you think about it that way in this moment with you know, the protests and the Black Lives Matter movement at this moment in time that has really been galvanized and very powerful right now, sitting differently with people. And I think that's what everybody kind of has to wrap their heads around, is that these things change. This, you know, the time doesn't stand still. And so something that feels right a month ago, when I think the NBA was mostly concerned with health and safety, and also knowing that as one of the first leagues to come back, they're going to be faced with the highest level of scrutiny. And just think, like, every plan the NBA puts out, you know that it's going to be scrutinized. Like, there's going to be 5 to 10 articles written in major national publications where they go call up epidemiologists and public health experts and say, hey, what do you think of the NBA's plan to return? Do you think it's safe? And you have to be able to pass that test.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Momo, we have Anthony Fauci actually saying he thinks the NBA plan is going to work.
Yeah, it's a good plan. If everybody's okay being confined that long with no friends and family, you know, and I think that's a long time. You know, this player I talked to, he said, you know, like, I guess I'll be okay. I'll just play a lot of video games and I'll go back to my room and I'll hang out and rest and everything. Might be a good opportunity to just kind of chill and focus on basketball, but that's a pretty big sacrifice. And especially for young men who are used to being out and about and, you know, I don't know if I could do it. I mean, that's like right now I'm home with my son and my husband and I see my parents every day. It's like we have a little quarantine group of five.
Yeah.
Thank gosh I have five. I mean, thank gosh. Cause this is hard on people mentally. So imagine not seeing your family for like 7 weeks and just being on FaceTime and, I mean, it's really hard.
Okay. Last thing, Momo. Is Dwight Howard intractable in this position? Is he likely to follow through and not play, or is he ultimately going to join the Lakers, assuming the league goes on as is stated?
I think you should ask another question. I think it's Dwight Howard and Avery Bradley, if anything. Avery Bradley is been more out front. I mean, he's certainly a much more of an organizer of these calls right now. That's two starters. I mean, that's a big deal for the Lakers.
Well, Howard doesn't start, but he's in the rotation.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Yeah. He's in the rotation. Two pretty key rotation players, right?
Yes.
That's a big issue for the Lakers. But I think what I have heard and I think you would agree the same thing. What you say by yourself and out loud is probably the truest you feel. And the question is, does he feel as strongly when he gets back into the group text? When you're with your teammates and it's not just a question of what you yourself want to do, but how does that affect your team? And I know how close Dwight is with his teammates. I know what this group has meant to him this year. So I don't know if he's intractable. My sense is, if the season resumes, I wouldn't be surprised if Dwight played and I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't, but I would lean towards him playing just because he really is close with this team. And, if they could find a way to make this season mean something to where as Michelle Roberts said, it enhances the moment and the movement and not distracts from it. I think that would satisfy a lot of players, but we'll see. I mean, I usually am pretty good at predicting things. I'm not sure how this one's going to go. I really don't. Over the next couple of days. It's going to be really interesting because we got this week and then training camp's supposed to open.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Hey, listen, Momo, hey, thank you very much.
You sound good.
Yeah, no, I'm relaxed. I'm relaxed. I'm recharged. I'm ready to go. Getting ready for the home stretch. Good. Getting ready for some sports, maybe even some baseball. Yeah. And baseball's going to break my heart.
No, it's not. Oh, I know. No, they're going to play. By the way, we'll get to this next. The players have responded.
Okay, good.
To the Rob Manfred interview.
Okay, good.
Nothing like a good old ugly labor fight during a pandemic.
They are not happy.
Yeah. All right. thank you, Momo. All right. And by the way, we're also going to do something called Birthday of the Day, brand new thing. Birthday of the Day is coming up next to Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. We're starting a new thing here, a new tradition. It's called Birthday of the Day. We look at the celebrity birthdays for the day and decide which one is the official birthday of the day. We will cast a vote and decide who gets Birthday of the Day.
Partially this game was invented because Mason one time threw a birthday party, which he said was for him, Amanda, and my wife, Lisa, who all have birthdays in the same week in March.
Yes.
And then he walked out with a giant cake of his face on it. So,
by the way, the cake said, "Happy birthday to me."
Yeah. So we've decided that really, if you're being honest, if a bunch of famous people are all born on the same day, that it's really just there's only room for one person's face on the cake. Okay.
Correct.
So who does the day belong to? That's what we're getting at here.
Okay. So let's go through the birthdays. First of all, our friend O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s dad. I'm sure he would hate being referred to as O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s dad.
Well, because he's the original. Yeah, he's the original O'Shea Jackson.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Ice Cube turns 51 today. Friends, which is now on HBO Max, which means nobody will see it ever again.
Well, that's okay because it's been running on TBS for like 9 years, 20 times a day.
Courtney Cox is 56 today. She was my second to least favorite friend.
Yeah, no, I used to argue that I was a Courtney Cox fan and you were a Jennifer Aniston fan. You kind of won the war. I think I won the battle at the time. But
Jennifer Aniston, still killing it. Neil Patrick Harris, who is...
Mega talented.
Mega talented, unbelievable. And a gay trailblazer. He's 47. And then Leah Remini.
So those
from Just Shoot Me.
No, she wasn't on Just Shoot Me, was she? That was
all
Laura
about
Sand-
all about Kevin. What was her show?
King of Queens.
King of Queens.
King of Queens. There you go. All about
probably
Kevin.
Made famous from Saved by the Bell, though.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She came in late to Saved by the
Bell. She was Stacy. Yeah, she's okay. Stacy.
So, this is tough. It. Neil Patrick Harris has been famous since he was Doogie Howser.
Yep, Doogie Howser. That's right. World's youngest doctor.
Ice Cube is a four-tool player, which is very hard to find.
He absolutely is.
He can be in movies. He can write. He runs the
We just saw him in High Note, Ross's daughter.
Yeah, I got dragged into watching that movie, and I really liked it. I talked about it on the air last week. I thought it was cool. Leah Remini, out because of the Scientology stuff. So I think it's a three-horse race.
what do you mean out because of the Scientology
out. Too
stuff?
Weird.
Really? But she tried to save people from Scientology.
That's true. She broke away. So,
she broke away.
I'm going to be the only one that picks this person.
Yeah.
I've had a crush on Courtney Cox since she was in Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark video. It can't be anyone but Courtney Cox for me.
Okay.
I mean, loved her in that, loved her on Family Ties, loved her in Friends. Although, technically, Ice Cube's the biggest name on this day. But what are you
going
with?
He is the biggest name. I am going to go with Neil Patrick Harris because...
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, he's on my team. He's a great guy. I've had a chance to interview him. He's super nice guy. Unbelievably talented. Talk about a four-tool player right there. Sings, dances. What are the four tools? Sings, dances.
Acts. Well, what's the EGOT? Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
So he's got a Tony.
Yeah. Cube could get the EGOT. I mean, he's that guy. He's that talented.
And then Leah Remini saving people from Scientology. I'll go Neil Patrick Harris. Lindsay,
what do you got?
I'm going to have to agree with John and go with Courtney Cox. Because
Courtney Cox?
Yeah, because A, the Springsteen video, that's like legendary. And B, Friends. I mean, Friends shaped a lot of people's childhood / early adult lives.
All right.
I think she's the most well-known.
I think I'm going to roll with Ice Cube. I love his music and I love his movies. You got to roll with him today.
So by default, Courtney Cox is birthday of the day.
Birthday of the day, Courtney Cox. Wow, who would have thought?
Congratulations.
Well, everyone
Courtney
was scared
Cox.
To pick Leah Remini because they're afraid they'll get dragged into a cult.
Yeah, I do not. I could tell you some haunting stories about that, but I'm not going to.
Did somebody try and recruit you?
Yeah, I don't need that in my life. It did happen.
Wait, did you go down the road? Did you go to a meeting?
Never went to the road.
Did you go to the church? You know, you and I have been to the church.
Been to the church, yep.
When we took a group of Hurricane Katrina displaced all these people, and didn't we, isn't that where our buses met because we needed the parking lot?
We took
like 100 listeners to a Dodger game. I said, we got to get out of here before they try and recruit us.
Yeah, yeah, no, I was invited to walk down the road, and I said, "That's
you know."
Not,
it came out this week. You know who else was invited to walk down the road?
Who?
found it interesting, just didn't do it. Jerry Seinfeld.
Really?
Yeah, it came out this week.
Interesting.
Hey, before we get to the top of the hour, the players have responded to what the owners... Well, first of all, Rob Manfred's going to be on a special tonight. Strangely, it's a special about sports returning. And he talks about, in an interview with Mike Greenberg, how baseball might not return. He was asked by Greenberg, what's the latest on a potential baseball season? And here's what Rob Manfred said.
You told Carl Ravitch here on ESPN last week that you felt 100% certain that there will be a season this year. How do you feel today?
Well, I know the owners are 100% committed to getting baseball back on the field. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. I had been hopeful that once we got to common ground on the idea that we were going to pay the players full prorated salary, that we would get some cooperation in terms of proceeding under the agreement that we negotiated with the MLBPA on March 26th. Unfortunately, over the weekend, while Tony Clark was declaring his desire to get back to work, the union's top lawyer was out telling reporters, players, and eventually getting back to owners that as soon as we issued a schedule, as they requested, they intended to file a grievance claiming they were entitled to an additional $1 billion. Obviously, that sort of bad faith tactic makes it extremely difficult to move forward in these circumstances.
What are your concerns for the optics of this circumstance playing out as publicly as they are during the time in this country where all the other things, the confluence of events involving the pandemic and protests in the streets and everything else, of this playing out as publicly as it is?
It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. It shouldn't be happening. And it's important that we find a way to get past it and get the game back on the field for the benefit of our fans.
Would you describe your feelings as confident that there will still be a season?
I'm not confident, Mike. I think there's real risk. And as long as there's no dialogue, that real risk is going to continue.
So, Mace, after that came out, after that aired on SportsCenter, Tony Clark, who is the executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association, issued this statement. Players are disgusted that after Rob Manfred unequivocally told players and fans that there would 100% be a season, he's decided to go back on his word and is now threatening to cancel the entire season. Any implication that the players have somehow delayed progress on health and safety protocols is completely false. And as Rob has recently acknowledged, the parties are very, very close. This latest threat is one more indication that MLB has been negotiating in bad faith since the beginning. This has always been about extracting additional pay cuts from players, and this is just another day and another bad faith tactic in their ongoing campaign.
This is just, they are breaking my heart today. All right, we'll react to that, plus the Dwight Howard story coming up next.
And let's take some calls.
Yeah,
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. We've thrown a lot at you guys in this whole first hour. We'll let you react to it all coming up next.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.